Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of TFG Radio. We don't have the full crew on. Danny is on new baby duty, so congrats to Danny, or condolences, however you want to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new baby girl, whose name I can barely pronounce, because I can't remember it. I'm not going to lie.
The future is now, old man.
Exactly. So we have a few things. I expect it to be a short show. Not too much is going on.
That's a good idea, Anthony.
We personally don't have a lot of updates. I know John hasn't been working on anything besides his various armies in his Bannerlords campaign. Did you start a new one, John?
Let's see. I finished Jagatai Khan.
That your campaigns are named after Primarch.
Why would you not? Like, when all the Primarchs come from these, like, medieval or, like, Dark Ages worlds, why would you not do that? So, Jagatai and the Kuzate Khanates conquer the world. Then I started one as the Sturgeons, which are, like, Norse. So that was Leman Russ. And that one's cool, and it was going. But then I was like, you know what? I watched this guy do smithing. And I was like, man. That'd be cool, because I could make a giant black dude who's bald and be Vulcan, because Vulcan was a smith. So I joined the green, which is the Batanians, and I created a giant bald black dude and named him Vulcan. And then you have to have a last name, and I was thinking, Vulcan doesn't have a last name. We had this conversation, right?
Yeah, we did.
And so his last name is Forge Father.
Okay.
Because the Forge Father is one of the things that, like, you have, so, like, whatever.
I want to go on record for saying I voted for his last name to be Hephaestus because that would have been appropriate for him to have both of the Greek and Roman names.
Isn't that his father's name?
It might be. I don't remember.
I don't remember his father's name. Yeah.
Pretty sure someone will let us know.
Right. Yeah. So, anyways, that's what I've been doing. I have those three campaigns. I made a Gilliman and immediately, like, abandoned him because it was boring playing as a giant white ball, blonde dude. With a sword on foot, who's got a bunch of Romans, like, whatever, who cares?
That's literally the campaign I just started.
I know. that's why I'm deriding it. But I did start it. We had this conversation. I started it with you online one night, remember?
Yeah.
I got bored.
Anthony, by the way, my vote doesn't count because I live in California, because I'm a podcast. Get it right.
This is multiple ways in which your vote does not count.
Yes.
So.
Politically. Yeah.
I mean, I have a ton of stuff I could do for 40K. I'm just not doing it.
You're not motivated to do it?
Well, I mean, BAO was supposed to be next weekend. I was supposed to have Grey Knights done for that. I have Grey Knights. I finally have Grey Knights to do, but why? And then I have tons of Space Marine stuff to build. Like, I still have the 3 Thunderfire Cannon, double quad mortar list. I have 2 Scorpiuses unbuilt, a Sakaran unbuilt. I have more Primaris than I could shake a stick at.
It's a good problem to have.
I've got tons of Space Wolf stuff I could build, and I have a Leman Russ. I have a bunch of Dreadnoughts to do. Like, I have tons of stuff I could do, and I'm just like, cool. I don't have any tournaments to go to, so I'm not going to build any of this crap.
Yeah, they just recently announced the canceling of the Gentleman's GT.
Oh, did they? I didn't know that. See, and I was planning on trying to go to that, but...
That was today because they don't know when the casinos are going to open up, and it's held in the casino.
Yeah, and they can't go.
So, and they'd already canceled Boise Cup.
Yep.
So I think June is a wash unless you live in Texas, certain areas of Texas which have a GT this weekend.
But it's not for ITC points.
But it's not qualified for ITC points. Now, for those that don't know, as areas open up, they're able to. You're going to be able to play 40K again. However, to qualify for ITC in terms of a GT or a major, you have to follow the guidelines of your local state or country, depending on where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if you don't, then they're not going to issue the token for the event. Yeah. You can still run the event. That's on you. But ITC won't issue tokens if you're not running the event according to the safety standards of wherever you're having it.
Yep.
So that seems to be the case. So they're not getting a token. So they're not going to.
Well,
their tournament's not going to be worth any ITC.
It makes total sense. I mean, the ITC is going to protect itself and its brand over, like, some random TO from Texas. I don't care what GT you run. They're not going to like, they're not going to risk their brand being damaged by you spreading coronavirus to your people and having there be a news headline about nerd gaming convention spreads coronavirus to small town in Texas. Like, why run the risk? There's no point. And if you're literally not going to follow the guidelines, you're going to find some kind of like loophole for it. But if you're literally admitting, yeah, I'm using a loophole to make sure that I can hold this thing, dude, come on.
Come on, son.
It's almost like rules lawyering.
It's almost like these tournaments are run by gamers. So, whatever. It is what it is. If you want to run an event, run it according to the local conditions, and you'll get your token. If you don't want a token, run your event however you want. Who the fuck cares, man?
And like Tom mentioned before we started the show, if you weren't on, local to our area, there's a store that's reopening, I believe. I don't know if it's for curbside or not, but, I mean, they're at least.
Ventura's not local to our area.
I know.
An hour and 15 minutes isn't local. Because that's an hour and 15 minutes without traffic. Like in L.A., an hour is local, but only because it takes you an hour to go 10 miles.
In L.A., everything's measured in time, not miles.
That's why the Star Wars reference didn't really hit us that hard, because we kind of got it.
It's true. It's true.
So, yeah. So I appreciate that our member who mentioned it, because he's local. It's local to him.
We'll go to him.
But not to a lot of us.
Was it to Mr. Law Enforcement up north?
Yes.
Yeah. John. Good old Johnny Law.
There's a lot of law enforcement in this hobby, I'm just saying.
There's a lot of teachers, too.
Yeah, but I don't have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't have a problem with law enforcement. Shit, that was on the internet.
I don't think I didn't say anything.
The last thing you want to do is, like, piss off, like, you know, anybody that's listening in, like DEA or, like, you know, FBI.
Or Highway Patrol.
Okay, so ScanMoto says Green Tower, which is the gaming store, is opening tomorrow, but no events. It's retail.
Open. Yeah, that Green Tower's Santa Clarita. Is that your store out there?
That's Santa Clarita.
Yeah, because Chris ScanMoto, he lives out there, and that's where he lives.
Okay. Yeah, that's
he's part of the Santa Clarita crew who used to come to the GE tournaments all the time in 5th edition before they all quit because they're a bunch of bitches.
Accusation fly.
Goddamn.
Hey, I only speak the truth in this show. I don't know what you guys want. Where's my tinfoil hat?
I saw a meme about stylish tinfoil hats and thought of you.
One of these days I really do need to have one for the show. I just never am organized enough for the show. Like, I only download the memes for the show, like, 5 minutes before I log on.
Dude, okay. So I was actually, like, you know, I watched at least the first reel of memes that you have going through, and that new Pooh Bear one you got, like, I busted gut. I kind of had to mute.
I love the Pooh Bear one. The Pooh Bear one's good.
Because it's such a great variation.
That was Warhammer 40K humor on Facebook. That's where I saw it originally. I think it's also on Grimdank on Reddit, but that's the original place I saw it.
Okay.
Yeah, Grimdank is fantastic.
Yeah, when I don't have time to make a bunch of my own, I go to Grimdank. Yeah. So
that's what's so John has nothing going on, Tom has nothing going on except maybe painting our new Eldar army.
And that's a cool paint scheme. I look forward to it.
See, like, it's funny, right? With John, I actually got most of my stuff done because I expected, you know, I was getting it ready for our local tournament. So I got most of it done. I have like 10 models I still have to buy, one I still have to finish painting. And because, like, for me, I'm kind of like John, like I need that event to have the drive to like prepare and get it. Plus, since I'm not playing games, I don't feel like I'm compelled to make them look good fast either. So the only reason I actually am interested in painting the Eldar is because I've painted Eldar before. Also, because I found a dope-ass scheme that I thought of, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to try this. And so,
yeah, cool. It even has me interested in, like, buying an Eldar army on eBay and copying the scheme, but better.
I mean, you didn't have to say that.
Dude, we could totally make it a competition.
I mean, wanted to say that.
God, we could make it a competition and see whose Eldar army sells for more on eBay.
This is like
a lot of variables in that.
This is like the one contest you're actually proposing, therefore I veto it.
Yeah, I veto it also.
Only I'm only proposing because this is the one I'd win. All the other ones are lose-lose situations for me.
And that's why they get, like, dude, we're just trying to teach you how the American government works.
You're going to teach me how the American government works?
Yes.
That's what I teach on a daily basis.
Because there's no irony.
Someone like me.
That's what I'm going to teach you. Oh, that's right. Sorry. I'm not trying to teach you how the government works.
I hate this podcast so much.
I'm trying to teach you cultural sensitivity.
Excuse you? I don't need a lesson in that. I'm white.
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
We are the most culturally sensitive ever. Nobody has more cultural sensitivity than us. We have the most cultural sensitivity of all time. Our cultural sensitivity is the greatest and hugest cultural sensitivity of all time.
Add that episode on our Patreon.
I like that the oof size large meme was on when I was doing that rant.
Yeah. No, that was good timing.
It was good timing for that. I feel bad for the people who only listen to the podcast.
Or for anyone just tuning in.
Yeah, for anyone just tuning in. What were we talking about?
I'm more or less the same way I need a tournament to motivate me to paint. Mm-hmm. However.
Yeah. You're talking to the guy who painted an entire Necron army in 5 days. 3 days, really. For a tournament.
I have been on an epic Space Marine spending spree, so.
Which, by you mean epic as in the game system, not epic as in how much of a spending spree you are on.
Yes.
Boo. Nobody plays epic. Get the fuck out.
Well, there's a system based off of the second edition.
No, there's not.
But they created unit stats for 30K for Horus Heresy. So I'm going to play Horus Heresy.
Who's they? Is it GW? Nope, doesn't exist. Sorry.
So I'm going to play it with...
unofficial.
Of course it doesn't, because they don't even make it.
It's like a mod. It's like a mod for a video game. Get out.
So, listen, mister, I'm going to put every Primarch in my other video game.
Did I put any mods in the game?
You may as well.
There's no mods. The only mod is a banner, and as Reddit made clear, your fucking banners are not mods. That was my favorite rant thread on Reddit for all the Mountain Blade ones.
That's pretty good.
Your banners are not mods, shut up. Oh, man.
So basically I'm collecting mini Marines, and not the non-primaris ones, but 30K, and just making armies for me and my brother to play. Because they scale better with the current Titans from Forge World, from GD. So I'm doing that instead of actually painting positions of battle.
Anthony and Chris are arguing in the chat, and I'm pretty sure at one point we all played games online together. And I don't think they realize
it. Oh, dang.
Because Chris is one of the other people we play online with sometimes.
Okay.
Just not recently. But I'm pretty sure Anthony's played with them before. They're saying never, but I don't believe it. This is all fake news. Where's my tinfoil hat?
You know you have
them. Damn, you're on form today, sir.
I'm just trying to have fun because there's nothing 40K related to talk about.
No.
Except for tournaments that don't count for ITC points, so why have them? And painting an Eldar army that nobody cares about? Because Eldar?
Not yet. Yeah, because they're not top. Well, I don't even know if they're top tier anymore with all the new stuff. Yeah.
I was looking at Age of Sigmar stuff today because I saw the Archaon model in an ad, and I was like, oh my god, I loved that model.
The dragon thing? Yeah, dude, that thing is.
And I was like, I wonder what an Age of Sigmar army for Slaves of Darkness or whatever, I wonder if it's any good. And I don't know if it's any good or not, but
the models are cool. Playing.
Yeah, none of us play.
Been playing with it since it came out.
Well, that's why I asked Reese in our chat. And then he was zero help. He was like, I mean, maybe? I don't know. I was like, you're supposed to know everything.
Dude, he's on vacation, dog.
Oh, he is not on vacation.
He is not on vacation.
He is. He's so not on vacation.
He's the inspiration for this week's topic.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, we should get back on track. Do we have show notes?
We did the link, which you always ignore. So what we did see, or what GW did put out, was a teaser for the Necrons.
Mm-hmm.
I forget which guy is it? The Silent King?
Silent King.
Yeah, Senzurek or something like that.
Yeah, so...
Totally not a rye whiskey that I'm remembering.
I would absolutely buy that and start buying Necrons if I had any faith in GW, which I do not.
Well... We already see it already seems to be that nothing's going to be as good as Iron Man. So that being said, if we go with that mentality, no.
Why is that even the measuring stick? Why is Ultimate OP Army your measuring stick?
That's what everybody's is.
But that's what it is right now. If you take the H and you play around with it and make it an M, it's Iron Man's. That's what Necrons are. I don't know. This could be the second coming.
I love Necron Flying Circus when I played it in 6th. I love the Necron Monolith, Triple Monolith Regeneration in 4th. That was fun.
What would it take you to play Necrons competitively?
A lot. Like, they need this new model, and then the Psychic Awakening needs to basically rewrite their entire codex.
Okay, so not just something...
No, Warriors need to go down 2 points. Immortals need to go down, like, 2 points. Dude, like, I don't even know. if the Flyers went down in points or up in toughness, maybe. Like, the army as a whole is just too expensive. Resorb should work on everything within a certain range. Like, Resorb shouldn't be the whole regeneration mechanic should be changed. There's a lot. That codex needs a lot of help.
I was excited when it was first coming out, but once it came out and once you saw how the army worked.
Yeah. God's weapon should auto wound on a 5 or 6.
What was the...
Like, it just should.
More or less the old rule with vehicles.
Yeah, they auto-glanced a vehicle on a 6, so you could glance vehicles to death and forth. No, they should, like, auto-wound things on a 5 or a 6. Or a 6 at minimum. Like, auto-wound anything you shoot on a 6.
Like the equivalent of hitting with orcs, except making it the wounding mechanic?
Yes.
Yeah.
That would actually be... Wait. Say, run that Ravi one more time.
Gauss weapons, however the hell you pronounce it, who the hell cares? Don't add any pedantic fucks. It should be auto wound on a 5 or a 6.
Or at least a 6.
Don't most things auto wound on 6s anyway?
Oh yeah, they do.
That's why I'm saying 5 or 6.
So
I'm saying 5 or 6.
I'm saying 5 or 6. Plus. Auto wound on a 5 or 6.
But is how much of the codex is strength 4 or strength 3 for weaponry?
A lot of it.
It's maybe up to strength 6. Even then on higher toughness like vehicles, so right. 7 you still need a 5.
They should all auto wound everything on 5 and 6.
So then but that means that they're only really getting benefits if they play against knights.
Because anything that has vehicles.
And vehicles. If you
you're saying
or immortal.
But most vehicles are toughness 7, right? So unless you're fighting Lehman Russes or knights, you're going to be wounding them on 5s anyway as Necrons. Do you see where I'm going with this? Like,
I do see what you're saying.
Like, I don't think that's actually.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. I wasn't thinking correctly about the math on that one.
Okay, here's how you could swap it though. All right, so you know how poison wounds anything non-vehicle on a 4+?
Mm-hmm.
Gauss, but everything else is normal. Gauss could wound anything vehicle on a 4+. Now that's good.
It should be, or not vehicle. It could be like Gauss could wound anything with an armor save of 4, like a 4+. Yeah, like the old one. And they get, like the what was that? Was that Dark Elder that had that rule?
That what? The armor save thing?
Yeah.
Orcs had that rule, that chopper rule where
everybody
gets a 4+ save no matter mm-hmm. what. Terminators hated playing against orcs.
Yeah. It should be something like, or all Gauss weapons, if they wound on a 5 or a 6, are 3 damage or 2 damage or something. Something crazy that makes them actually scary to face.
I think double the damage would be good.
Yeah. On a 5 or 6, you double the damage of a Gauss weapon.
Against Primaris.
So if it's like a heavy Gauss or something and it already does more damage, then... You double it.
That would be pretty scary. Double it.
Yes, we should actually, Anthony, fix both Dark Lances and Bright Lances.
I only agree because we now have an Eldar army.
Oh yeah, I was gonna
say. Normally I'm anti anything that makes Eldar better, but that one's fine. Yeah, hits on 6 auto wound, we know. Anything that hit, I think any hit of 5 or 6 automatically wounds, automatically wounds, and doubles the damage. That would make them decent.
Hmm.
And there needs to be a price drop. If you want to create something on the level of Iron Hands for Necrons.
Yeah, there definitely needs to be a price drop.
Or at least something
and,
like
And there needs to be a way to get the units closer. Like an across-the-board points drop so that you can actually use one of those Ghost Arcs. Or the Flying Croissants transports would be decent.
You know what would actually be really good for them would be an ability that Grey Knights have where they can drop within 3 inches. Because most of the time, Necrons don't really give a shit about assaulting you, and they're fine to like be stuck in assault with you.
So that's something you could give the Croissants. So anything exiting a Night Scythe can drop within 3 inches of an enemy unit, but they can't charge. Well, they already can't charge.
Or if you have, or if you have a monolith on the table and you have people coming in from the monolith, they can drop within 3 inches of the monolith. Or like, but the whole point is, if you give them, you need to give them something with mobility.
Yeah, right? That's what Anthony's saying. Use the monoliths.
Like, if you make the either that, or they don't change the monolith offensively, they leave it the same. But you just make the monolith borderline impossible to kill and make it limit one. If you make the monolith basically unstoppable, like you cannot kill it, it does the same offensive output, which is decent, you just can't kill it, and it gives a bunch of supporting bonuses to the entire army.
Or you drop it in points and let them take three, whatever. Like, you're talking about an army that is worthless. I'm sorry, Necron players, your army is practically worthless. And kudos to any Necron player who's been able to go 5-1 or 6-0 at a tournament last season, because there were a couple of you. You're amazing. I'm not even going to lie. You are great players for being able to do that with an army that is so hamstrung.
Yeah, now that's the thing, is that at that point you're talking about the army. So it's like, you know, that's really, that's ultimately the issue. The army needs something.
Mm-hmm. Unless you're playing in Hanford, California. Damn, bro.
Wow.
Shade AF.
Because, like, even their super nasty bomb trick only works if the enemy doesn't know about it, they go first, and they weren't, and they didn't screw up their own positioning, right? You know?
Yeah. I mean, for Necrons to be an army I would legitimately take to a tournament, it would need a lot of work.
Now.
And you're not getting that from Psychic Awakening. You're just not.
Now, you know what I could see, although it would be a really fast turnaround, I'd be very surprised, is if in lieu of, like, what happens in fantasy happens in 40K. If the OCR Bone Reapers was a test launch for a Necron revision. Because one of the interesting things someone pointed out, that person, his name is me. no, I noticed this when they did the video, right? It's the whole montage. It looks like the Necron Egyptian script. It shows, like, it's scrolling across and showing the history and everything. But
that's always been the Necron and Tomb Kings thing, and now they just don't call them Tomb Kings anymore.
Yeah, exactly. But here's the thing, is that throughout that entire thing, it's showing what look like normal Necron people, and all of a sudden it looks like you see beefed Necron dudes. Like, all of a sudden, huge jack.
Well, because those are the guys before they got put through the ringer.
No, as in they look like they were new.
Maybe.
I don't know. I have a feeling that Illuminar Cesaris. Yeah, I think we're not going to just see Illuminar Cesaris be the only new thing going down. It's not going to be like, oh, here's your new sweet ass character. I think there might actually be, a new unit or two. I mean, Mechanicus
got
3 new units out of nowhere.
Yeah, right? But again, like, Necrons need more than a couple new units. Like, if you don't fundamentally change some of the things for that army,
I agree,
it's just not going to be good. Unless the character dude they're coming out with, the Silent King, if they literally bring the Silent King back and he is Primarch level power.
Like
Gilliman level or like Magnus level.
Initial
Gilliman level, initial Magnus, initial, why am I blanking on the dude's name? Death Guard dude. Mortarion. Unless they're like those initial level Primarch good, it's just not going to be, and even then, unless the bonus he gives to the Necrons he's on the table with is insane.
Everybody within 6 inches automatically has thy will be done.
Dude, with Necrons, it's going to have to be everybody on the table.
Well, dude,
like
so
as long
six inches
as.
Is amazing.
No, it's not. Not enough for Necrons. No, the army is so hamstrung. The army is so slow that you're going to be stuck plodding along the whole time. And I guarantee you, the dude will not be able to be in reserve and then teleported through a Night Scythe. So you're not going to be able to do the Deceiver trick. And even if you could do the Deceiver trick with him, he's going to be so many points that the Deceiver trick is going to be too expensive. By the time you afford the Deceiver, the Night Scythes, the dude, and some chaff to go with him, it's not going to be useful.
Speaking of things that need to be worked, the Catan powers, if I call correctly, are pretty bad, except for like two.
They're kind of random, but there's the one I think that removes the model from the game.
Time Zero.
Yeah, it's fine. Like, they're fine. You know the problem with them is everybody expects them to be like super amazing because the rest of the codex sucks. Like, everybody keeps looking for something in that book to make up for the rest of it.
The answer? Tomb Blades.
That's been tried.
Yeah, I know, but. Like, for example, one of the first Space Marine games I was playing, as Iron Hands, no doubt, I was playing against a very good Necrons player, actually, and the first thing I did going first was I made a sacrifice play where I sacrificed 1.5 flyers, essentially, to kill off his, like, huge Tomb Blade blob, because I knew that if I was going to lose the game, it was because of his Tomb Blades.
Yeah, it's. I mean,
lo and behold, I was right.
Sure, sure. Tomb Blades are good, and they're like what one of the only good things in the Codex, like legitimately good. Yeah. Yes, Destroyers are good, but they're not good enough. Immortals are good, again, not good enough. Even the Basic Warrior is good, but it's not good enough. It's not durable enough. It doesn't do enough damage output. It's too slow. The tricks to make them fast aren't fast enough.
It seems like they're just shy of being like really good.
Well, and here's the thing too.
No, they're just shy of being playable.
Even if you argue, like, oh well, no unit is supposed to be so good individually that it like makes the codex, right? Even as a composite, you cannot say that. I mean, as a composite, they're good, but they're not going to win games. Like, I'm not going to, you know, like for example, I see a ton of Iron Hands Intercessors. Shit. I see all of that Necrons, and I'm like, shooting priority. Okay, I can take care of this. I got to do this. I got to do this.
Still the same fear or respect.
I guess. I mean, that's what I'm saying. If, like, the Silent King is a model that exists, and they actually come out with them, and it's not just some story hook for, like, random bullshit coming back into the universe. Like, oh, he's coming back, so these new units woke up. Ha! If he's actually a thing, and he's, like, Gilliman level beginning of 8th edition powerful, but for every unit on the board, you instantly have an army that could be viable as long as you take them. Mm. But they're not going to do that. And two, I don't think that model exists. And three, I don't trust that they'll write rules that work that way.
But I'm wondering what book they'll put him in. What book is he in?
Isn't there one called Pariah or something?
Pariah's
already came out, but the Pariah.
Oh, that's
was,
right.
Unless they're in there, but that's the sister of battle characters.
Hey, maybe they randomly realized how terrible a job they did with the Necron Codex, and they're literally putting out a new Codex.
Wait, are you saying where they're going to release the Silent King himself?
Yeah, where are the Necrons in the Psychic Awakening?
It's Pariah.
Is it Pariah?
Yeah, and that's why I made the joke last podcast that they're naming the Psychic Awakening that Necrons are in. After a unit they no longer have access to.
Yeah.
Well, they call the Harlequin guy Pariah.
Well, and then the Pariahs are also the humans that are the Null Psychers.
I know. So I don't know if that's just the double meaning that they've put, or maybe they did it and didn't realize it.
Maybe they do realize they messed up, and they're totally redoing the Necron Codex, and they're having this Primarch Necron and a bunch of cool stuff, and that's it. I don't know. Or maybe they're literally not bringing this guy back, and it's just a hook for one of their stupid animated series.
I would be very pissed.
I'm trying to think if they brought back everybody that they've had these little stories about. I can't remember now.
Yeah.
We'll see. Hopefully it's cool. Hopefully it gives them some more game things to play and make them a little better.
Yeah. I mean, I would totally do Necrons again if they were good.
We also saw a leak for Harlequins. Normally we don't talk about leaks, but then GW put out an article about Harlequin.
Yeah, so it's confirmed, basically.
basically. Mm-hmm. They seem to be pretty good, at least to add to someone's Eldar, Dark Eldar army.
Yeah, someone's on this podcast that just bought one. that somebody else on this podcast is painting for him.
And that's you're in charge of tactics, John.
Is he though?
Yes.
So sure, why not? Who cares?
On the podcast, he's had the best record so far. So
for what? Playoffs.
Best showing at a major.
Yeah, best showing so far.
I mean, you give me a crutch in a room full of people who don't know what they're doing, and I can hit some people over the head. Sure, but
wow. Sure. You played Iron Hands at SoCal Open. How'd you do?
We weren't talking about me.
You just were. Give me a crutch. You had one. You had the best crutch GW has put out the entirety of 8th edition. The best crutch they've ever come up with. And you didn't perform as well as me. Sit down.
I mean,
the
thing is,
that crutch because there was no Leviathan in his army.
That wasn't even the crutch at the time. The Leviathan Dread wasn't even the thing at the time for SoCal Open.
Right, because no one had looked at it yet. Or
at the end
discovered
of the,
that combo.
At the end of the day, I pulled the trigger, the bomb went off. I shouldn't be upset that it's now exploding me too.
You shouldn't. There's a reason why Adam and Danny never mention records on the show.
Unless you're talking about 20 years ago when both of you were like kids.
Right. I don't even bring and everybody needs to remember, I didn't even say anything. I was gonna let it sail by. Adam's the one that said it.
I didn't say it. I just said you're the tactics guy.
Right. And when he questioned it, I wasn't gonna say anything.
Yeah.
I literally was quiet. I was looking at the camera. I didn't say a word.
Damn, I didn't realize this was a chain reaction bomb. I thought it was just a single explosion.
No, you're like the dominoes on the screen right now. You hit one over and that one hit Adam and everything fucking blew up.
Did I win something?
No.
Damn it.
Yeah, you're lost of self-respect.
Stop teasing me like I had it.
Nah, this is true.
And that was a suicide bomb.
Down. Can't let it get to you.
That's true. You know what happens when my ego gets out of check.
Yeah.
Tom was like a pizza parlor in Israel.
God, man.
Jesus. All right.
Or an apartment complex in Palestine, depending on your political persuasion.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Hey, I was just trying to make everybody happy, because God forbid you offend one side over the other. I got the pro-Israelis and the pro-Israelis out of the way at the same time.
You said pro-Israelis twice.
I said pro-Palestinians or pro-Israelis. I got them both out of the way at the same time. Hey, at least I was able to recognize that you were right.
I was like, wait a minute.
For my next impression, Jesse Owens.
So, Harley seemed good. We'll look at that as we get more info.
Yeah, Carlos messaged me after the leaks. Hey, do you still want to paint that Harlequin army for me?
Which should tell you everything you need to know.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I responded back. Carlos, if you're watching or listening, yes, I will. I'll paint it for you. I'll respond to you on Facebook in a little bit. My bad. I've been busy. Work sucked lately.
We've also got a new horse. We've got new Rough Riders are back, in a way, sort of.
Rod.
With the new Deftus Mechanicus.
Yeah, don't put robot-y guys on turtles.
What are they called? They're Cerberus Sulphur Hounds?
Sure, whatever.
Cerberus Raiders.
They're Mechanicus Cavalry that have flamethrowers in their mouths, right?
The Sulphur Hounds do. Yeah, they spew flames.
Cool.
Rod. Like the Hounds of Hell. Right.
I'm just going to keep saying Rod. Bob Dole.
You tell him hell's coming. You tell him I'm coming and hell's coming with me.
Bob Dole.
And then the Raiders have guns.
They can all be White Earp. White Earp and his boys.
Bob. So they don't give any stats. They just kind of tell what they kind sort of do. So more tease from that. More information with nothing. No meat. But along with that and the flying bat things and the
Dune flyer. Doesn't it look like some stupid thing from Dune?
The which flyer thing? The
flyer with the arms that flap? Because why not?
You mean the, dwarf gyrocopter?
That yes, they have yes, the dwarf gyrocopter from
and
Warcraft.
And now they're using 40K?
It's like literally from Warcraft 2.
See, I saw that model and I saw what they were going with, and I'm like,
I know. It's all the Da Vinci influence, I know. But
no, I'm still convinced that that was supposed to be the Age of Sigmar model, and they didn't realize it. And they randomly, and they quickly realized their mistake and slapped on some Mechanica symbols and were like, fuck it, print it. We're just going to go with it, whatever.
This one's done.
We wrote the rules for 40K, not Age of Sigmar. Oops. Put some Mechanica symbols in the CAD design and print.
Your booze mean nothing to me. I've seen what makes you cheer.
Turn on the money machine.
Yeah.
Brrr.
Yes. Like a bad edit of Will Smith's Wild Wild West.
It absolutely is.
That is a stellar reference.
Thank you, Anthony.
Yeah, good job. I appreciate it 100%.
That's what it reminds me of. Can't remember if I saw that in the theaters or not.
I appreciate you.
I saw it in the theaters. Did.
Oh man, I'm reading all of Anthony's really harmful comments now.
Yeah, you should have avoided that.
I'm gonna read it. I'm gonna go find his manager.
Tom's gonna go full Karen.
I like to notice that Tom did win a tournament, but it was a tournament where none of, I think we're at LVO. Everyone was at LVO or something, or BAO.
I won a local tournament because everyone was at BAO.
Yeah, that's right.
I won Airport Con, but the guy didn't know how to submit it.
Yes, that's right.
So it didn't officially happen.
Yep.
So Tom hasn't won any real RTTs or tournaments.
It's called reported. I haven't won any reported.
Blocked and reported. Oh, not that kind. Not that kind of reported.
It's getting there.
Nice.
So, one of the things I got inspired for one of our topics today because of our talk with in our judges chat, and that's it's with dealing with stress. Whether it's more importantly, dealing with stress in regards to 40K,
video games.
Real life is a whole nother.
Yeah, no. You can't deal with that stress. You just gotta drink that stress away.
I'm not qualified to talk about that.
No.
We'll have Chris on Monday.
Yeah, we should. That'd be funny.
I take boosters in the morning, and then I take sedatives about halfway through the event. Speedball. Just keep rotating.
So there's really three layers, because there's three of us here.
It's like an onion.
First, as a player, a judge, and a TO.
Don't quote Shrek. Don't quote Shrek. Don't.
I just did quote Shrek. I saw like an onion.
I'm telling myself. Oh, okay. I'm telling myself. Don't go. Don't finish.
So as a player, I think all three of us deal with the stress differently. I think John deals with it the best as a player, from what I've seen. The best example I've seen from John is when you're playing Travis, when you're playing the three night. You had three nights. The Librarian Conclave was in 7th edition.
Okay, I vaguely remember this.
Your whole plan was, and that was all you had. I think it's some scouts or something. Because your whole plan was just to summon demons.
Oh, yeah.
The Librarian Conclave.
Yeah.
And Travis was playing, I think it was like King of Beer. No, it was like it was Chaos Knight and some other junk. But I remember this because it was like first turn. Travis kills one of your knights, and it starts a chain reaction.
Yeah.
Of back in 7th edition, they had something called D weapons.
Yes.
That basically automatically killed your units. It wasn't like they take X amount of wounds.
No,
it
they're
was
dead.
Just you remove the model from the table.
Oh my god,
they're
I
dead.
That's so much.
And the knights back then would basically stagger around before they exploded.
Yes.
And if you had them too close, they'll hit your own lines. So. Yeah. So what I saw happen was basically there was a chain reaction where basically all three of your knights died, and I think a couple of your librarians died.
Yeah.
And this was the first turn.
Yeah.
And you didn't even have your turn yet.
No.
Or I think maybe you did, and you didn't do anything.
Yeah, it was very early in the game.
And I don't know what you were thinking, but you kind of paused, and you're like, okay, my turn then. And just acted like it was nothing.
Yeah.
And, proceeded to play. So I don't know if you're screaming your head inside or
internally screaming.
No, I've gotten to the point where like you just accept whatever happens. Like, what are you gonna do about it?
Right.
I'm not like I don't the salty moniker I don't have on the tabletop. I have it from this podcast.
No, it's not. That's the funny thing. It's not from the tabletop at all.
No, not at all.
Outside of the game.
Yeah. Like whatever happens on the tabletop, it happens. Like you just have to accept it and move on. Like what else can you do? It's like that's why like when I was playing Blood Bowl on the computer, random crap would be happening and like all my guys would die and be like, eh. What are you gonna do?
No, when your ogre didn't do anything for like 7 turns out of 8.
Oh, that's right. He got boneheaded.
You were audibly upset when I played you.
I was, yeah. But it was a joking upset. Like it was not berating you upset. Yeah.
No. It wasn't that type of.
Yeah.
I've gotten better with my managing the stress and the vagaries of the game over the years. It used to be pretty bad in the early days. I used to rage quit a lot.
Anthony, but, I am saying you don't have to physically threaten your opponent with violence. You definitely don't have to do that. That's definitely not necessary. Or scare your opponent with your comfort animal. No. You don't have to do that either.
What about smashing your own models in?
Nope, you don't have to smash your own models. Nope, definitely don't do that.
People lash out in different ways.
Yes.
So for me, it's more like I try to take John's approach. Ever since I watched John, that happened with John, I try to take that approach during my games. It's still I still slip once in a while, but not to the point where I used to in the old days. So it would have gone a lot better. Tom, I like watching Tom play. Tom knows.
I'm in danger.
I should have had the I'm in danger meme up there.
People that haven't seen Tom play or met Tom.
Anthony, you were correct. Tom stresses out.
Tom gets very intense.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, I will go on record and say I have never gotten mad at another player to the point where
you're just high stress.
Yeah. the anger is always on myself, and that's a key
or
thing
the table.
To understand. Yeah, or
the organizer who put the table there.
Okay, that was just a follow-up.
You have threatened me during a game once, but I wasn't playing in the game with you.
Yeah, because you were knocking over my models.
I had my measuring tape extended about 10 feet and was knocking your models over while you weren't looking.
I know, I really ticked.
During a high-stress moment of the game.
I mean, I'm not even gonna apologize for that one.
Why are you friends with us?
I don't know. I wanna say it's like, you know, all I got.
It's not though, I know you have other friends. Why are you friends with us?
You're the only ones that message back. No. Yeah, I can get intense, but I never take it out on anyone. It's always usually directed on me because I'm very self-critical. So I usually am very upset with decisions I make.
Yeah, there was that one game we had where I think it was the last time I played you. I think it was during the playoffs where you weren't upset. You get a certain way with your elbow and your hand. You have your hand on your chin and you look super intense.
Because the thing is that I'm always like, I know I'm missing something.
Oh, yeah. And it's just funny when you lash out at other people, not at whoever you're playing against.
Well, it's usually because those other people are like, oh, Tom's clearly not happy. I'm going to get fucked with him.
I feel like that was an attack on me.
Well, I saw Chad, our old store manager, did it one time.
Oh, my God.
That's because I'm talking about that playoff game. And that's when it happened. And I think he just gave him a look. He didn't say anything.
I didn't say anything. No.
But that's what I told him. He needs to learn to read the room.
Oh yeah.
He wasn't getting the vibe because I was really quiet during that game, at the second half of that game. But he wanted to come over and.
Well, he was also still salty because I wrecked his house's towel.
Oh yeah, you had trounced his ass. I remember that. I think I was there for that game.
So how do you recommend dealing with stressful situations?
I mean, for me, it's just like I think a lot of it also is just knowing who you are. So like I know I'm that way, and you know I don't accept that like I'm allowed to act however I want. You know, like so. It's knowing that you have a like a tendency to do something and just taking the steps to avoid it. So like when I go into a game, like especially if I really, you know, want to win, which is most games, I just remind myself, okay, well, it's Toy Soldiers. It's not important. It's not going to change the most important things in my life. It's not going to like be the reason I win $3 million. It's not. And even
definitely
if it is,
not.
Yeah, and even
never,
if it is,
ever, ever will you win money in this game that exactly. makes up for the money you spent.
I know, right? Exactly. It's, and at the end of the day, even if something is so fortune altering as that, like I try to remember a lot of like kind of how I was raised, where it's like there's a lot in life you just don't control, and the only thing you control is how you respond to it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that feels impossible, especially people like me who are very high energy, high like emotion forward people. It's hard to think you can control your own emotions because they're there quickly. And so I just know that. And so I take a step back, you know, and I'm just like, all right, I gotta focus. And then if I do fail, I have a contingency plan. Well, it's like, make sure it's the anger's clearly directed at myself.
Yeah.
Make sure it's never directed at anyone else. Unless it's John, in which case, stop hitting my shit with your measuring tape.
It's and John does it to everybody, not just.
Oh yeah, I know. I know it's not personal, yet.
yeah, for myself, like Tom said, it's identifying that you, how you get when you get stressed out,
mm-hmm.
and just being aware of it, and being aware of that you are getting stressed, because some people may just think that's their normal behavior, just because you're on a stream. Doesn't and your stress doesn't allow you to take certain liberties with the rules or with models.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, that's another good way of putting it too. I've never let myself take an excuse ever, like for anything. Like if I do something, I own up, like immediately. Right. Like that's what it is.
Yeah, I wonder. I've never been on the stream. So there was the one BAO where I was supposed to be on the stream for the first game, but they didn't have the stuff set up in time. And then, that was the one where I went 6-0, but I was never high enough in the undefeated brackets to make it onto the stream. And I wonder how I'd react in that situation, because that's like a lot of pressure being a judge for the LVO and then being on the stream. Like, I don't know if I'd want to do that.
I haven't been on stream. Oh, I was on a frontline stream with Travis one time.
Right, but that's different. It's like a homebrew game. You're like there in the studio.
Yeah, I mean that's the only time I. But even
I've streamed games with us. Like, that's not stressful.
Well, I mean, with the front line, I guess because it's not us, it's a different type of stress. In that, you're still. I think this was I think it was before we were judges.
No, it was right after that first year.
Yeah, it was after that first year.
Yeah, right after the first year. It was before I was a judge.
So. I think even then I was stressed out more about getting the rules right or doing the right thing, as opposed to, it's almost like being in the fishbowl, like in War Machine especially, where you're wondering if this is the correct move and what are they going to say, and that's in the back of your mind, but at the same time you're too busy trying to play to worry about that. At least I was.
Yeah,
I still
that makes
thought
sense
about too. It. But at some point you just got to play. You got to say like, "Fuck it, I just got to make this move."
Mm-hmm.
Or do make this action. I can't spend all day just trying to come out with the perfect move. But I think the advent of the Twitch streams or just Facebook Live or whatever you're going to use has added a level of stress, especially as you get better and go up in the standings of
yeah,
the tournament.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
But it's still no excuse for inappropriate behavior.
No, it's not. And we've witnessed that. I actually. This year at LVO, I did not handle the stress of being a judge well.
Well, I mean, to be fair, you were given undue stress.
There was a couple of times where somebody would come up to us, and I was discussing something with one of the other judges, and I'd literally be like, I need you to walk away so I can finish this conversation. And there's a couple of times where I felt that it was...
A bit heavy-handed?
Yes.
Okay, well, that will...
And I could not stop myself, even though, like, I knew I probably should... Because I literally could not bring myself to care about what that person was saying, because I was so mad about the other thing we were having to handle.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I said undo.
So going into that, there's the judge aspect, the stress of being a judge, for those that don't do it or haven't done it. And actually, it's a different level in terms of this, from doing the RTT to doing a GT to doing a major to doing a super major or something like
that. To doing VLVO, right?
Like for me, I have no problem doing RTTs or even our local GT because it's not that, there's not that many people. Yeah, there's a prize, but it's not as significant. There's ITC points, but it's not as significant as most other larger majors. So even then, I don't have that much of a stress. Now, when I would travel and do other GTs, I would have the added stress of like, okay, this is not my thing. So.
Right.
So-and-so's thing, I'm doing it for them, and they're actually paying my room or doing whatever they're doing.
Yeah, you want to do right by them.
So I don't want to fuck it up for them.
Yeah.
On LVO, that takes that level to a whole other level.
Yeah, a whole other level, yeah. Like, I could handle the stream games. Like, I get put on the stream games a lot. And or, like, the more contentious games, no problem. Yeah. I'll handle them. But that first day... last year was so stressful. I couldn't do it.
See, for me, it was stressful in more of a work kind of way.
Yeah, I felt like I was at work and it was a terrible like day where everything was going wrong and I just like, it was bad. Like, and I'm sure I pissed off a couple of people and I'm sorry if I did, but.
See, that part, you know what? I was more stressed out about us taking too long than the actual incident itself, because the job I used to do before I got the injury was high stress situations. I was put in high stress situations to begin with.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
For me, and in some cases it was literally life or death.
That
brings about a whole different other stress level. So it's worrying about a computer program not working is not that big of a deal for me.
Right. But Jason and I were trying to figure out the workaround for it.
Yeah.
And then I was the go-between between all of us and Reese and Frankie.
Right. So you had to give them whatever news was coming out of those guys.
Right.
So. Good or bad.
And that's one of the interesting things I found about myself personally is like I work in a very high-stress job like as well. But I noticed that for me, it's when I feel like, you know, when I do my job, of course, I'm putting myself out saying this is my work. I'm delivering, but there's a difference between that and like the challenge of like you are pitted against somebody else and you need to prove that you are the better person. Like you are, and that's maybe the incorrect way of thinking of it, but like your brain kind of defaults to that, I think, or can in a competition where you're like, you have to show that you are the better general, the better player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that kind of self-challenge can, you know, affect people. I mean, it does with me. And I actually, to talk really quickly about streams, the first game of SoCal Open 2 years ago, I was on a stream.
That's right.
How was that?
The interesting thing was, I almost forgot I was on a stream. Like,
kept cheating like he always does.
I think that's why some people, because they don't stress about that, get caught cheating.
And that's the thing is like,
cheat and they forget they're on stream. Do it anyways.
It's funny you put it that way. Seriously though, like I've never had an issue like, you know, speaking in public or being on a stage or anything. So like being like, oh, like I'm on stream. Yeah, that was nerve wracking. The only thing like that I worried about was just not swearing too much. Like, honestly, like, aside from that, it was just a normal game.
That's why the GW stream is nice. They don't mic you up. You can swear as much as you want.
Oh, good guy, GW. I thought I'd never say that.
But get off this podcast. What's wrong with you? It's not our narrative.
It's called irony.
Sure.
John, did you ever have any – I don't know why I'm bother asking this, but do you ever have any stress about having the correct answer?
No. There was a thing day one or two or something about consolidation and like this person has to consolidate towards the nearest unit and then like it brings them out of coherency and the person was like, I don't remember what they were trying to argue, and I was like, dude, nobody cares.
I thought you were gonna say there was a day where like I got hit in the head really hard and ever since then I haven't cared about being wrong.
No, it was like the call was either, hey, break the game by making the raw call, or allow the game to continue by making a judgment call. And I was like, I'm just going to make the judgment call. Well, that's not how it was read. I was like, well, you called me over to the table, dude.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you told me to make a
decision. I'm because... literally not going to stress about this because you asked and I answered and you're not winning the tournament. So I don't know what the problem is.
And if you don't like it, you can get out.
I mean, I think it was day two and both players had lost the game at that point. It was like, guys.
You're both terrible.
Not that you're both terrible, but you're not winning this tournament, so let's not do this. Like, I understand by Raw, yes, the game here breaks, and you're now out of coherency, which you're not allowed to move out of coherency, so you can never move out of coherency, but you're now being forced to move out of coherency because the other rule says you must. And I'm just like, I don't fucking care.
Again, that's also different if it's a Tuesday, you know, I mean.
Right, yeah. So, no, I don't ever stress about getting the answer wrong. I might stress about it at a stream table or a top table.
Okay.
I
don't stress about it too much. I just try to be as correct and
fair. I got really upset. I had to go babysit a game last LVO, and I got really upset at another judge who made a call that was absolutely 100% wrong about the terrain. They had ruled that this door was open on the bottom floor and you could see through it to shoot. And I was like, so I come up to the table and I have to now babysit this table because it's already contentious.
Oh, fun.
And somebody goes to do something. I'm like, oh, no, that you can't do that because you can't see through the bottom floor. And he's like, no, the other judge ruled this. And I was like, and then the other player was like, see, I told you that shouldn't have been the ruling. And now I got put into the situation where like, I'm now put in a situation where I have to uphold another judge's ruling that was absolutely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And the other player knows he was right. And he knows I was right and I'm right, but I can't then overrule it because they've already played like a turn and a half with it the other way.
Yeah.
And so that was really hard in that moment to deal with. Because I couldn't also, like, let my frustration show with the other judge. So I had to be like, well, okay. They probably just misinterpreted, and that's fine. So that's what we're going with. And, like, to not let it show on my face that I was pissed off that was an absolute 100% incorrect.
Not to mention which, right, like, you're representing, like, a collective group that's saying, hey, we're going to be the authority here. So to undermine that in any way.
Yeah.
Is not good, even if you know that one person is, like, wrong, right. You know?
Yeah, and I wish I had known that ruling had been made so I wouldn't have said anything. Like, the fact that I said it out loud and, like, made it clear that the judge had messed up, it makes it a lot worse, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Anthony says you recorded that interaction. That's great. Wonderful. Don't put it on YouTube.
I thought it was a different interaction, but...
Who knows? There were several interactions... Those first 2 days were, like, pretty wild.
Yeah.
Because of the circumstances, so.
Yeah, I have the same, especially with the top tables, as we get close, as the event gets closer to top tables,
mm-hmm.
It can be a bit more stressful. If you are a judge and it does stress you out, just know that whatever you say is basically correct for that table and at that time, at that tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be too stressed out about it. Even as John just discussed, turns out that there was an incorrect answer. Whatever the judge said, once you ask the judge, the players give up any right to right or wrong. It's whatever the judge says. So
wait, are you saying that if John makes a call at a tournament, I can't then use that call at a different tournament?
No, you can't. You can try.
That's illegal.
You can try. I don't know if he would get away with it. So just remember that if you are a judge at an event, try not to get too stressed out about it. Give the best answer that you can, and then because there's probably other questions, just move on because you cannot stay at the same table for an extended amount of time because then that takes away from your ability to go to other tables that may need help also. So moving on. The other aspect is as an organizer, I know John and Danny and Tom helped me out with organizing the local events. And we help out, John and I help out with LVO and with basically all the frontline events. in behind the scenes in some capacity, but there's a lot of failure points for an event.
Yes.
Not a pandemic.
Multiple failure points.
And each failure point, possible failure point, can be very stressful. For one example, where you don't have a terrain. If you're depending on someone to give you terrain, so they tell you, hey, I can provide terrain for you, and they fall through, or they misinterpret how you wanted the terrain done. Like BAO, it was 2-3 years ago. It was the first year that it was at Game Castle. They had to add more terrain pieces, but it was communicated incorrectly because they didn't put enough height on the terrain pieces. So there wasn't a lot of line of sight blocking terrain. And that was a failure partly on the organizer's part because they told them we just need a terrain. They didn't tell them, hey, we need X amount of line of sight blocking terrain. So things like that, whether you're providing food, more importantly, that you're going to get enough people at your event, that can be stressed out. Apparently gamers like to wait till the last minute. So having to get those people or get enough people for your event to first qualify as a GT and then maybe as a major if you're shooting for that, or even just to cover whatever you're paying for the event hall, can be stressful because you're like, what am I doing wrong? I've been advertising and doing all this. So hopefully, you know, and then there's the stress of something like what's happening this year with the pandemic, where in the early days, it was like, are we going to do it? Are we not going to do it? If we don't do it, this is going to happen. If we do it, this could possibly happen and make it even worse. In the end, that's taken out of your hands for most people. But it still gives you a lot of stress when trying to figure out what to do, especially when your own personal money is involved, or money, especially if you already spent the money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're forced to get refunds.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, you know, anything that I signed up for that got canceled, I didn't even bother for a refund. It didn't matter to me. That money was already gone anyway.
Yeah, I didn't ask for a refund for BAO.
So
I did tell, because the Little League, for everyone's Little League, emailed everybody a survey, like, how would you like to see us handle this, right? And so they're asking, do you want to see there be a season, like some type of a season at some point, right? And so I'm like, yes. And they're like, so if we can't have a season, what would you like? Your money back or donate it to the league? I'm like, well, you asked me if I want a season. So if you, I said yes. So if then you tell me there's not going to be one after you gave me the option of saying I want one, then yeah, I want a refund. Because of course I want a refund if you literally asked me if what I wanted. And then you're like, oh, if we don't give you what you want, do you want your money back? And I'm like, yeah. Yes, I do.
Is that even a question?
Like,
I mean,
I literally said, yes, I want a league. I want my kid to play baseball that I paid for. Now, I understand this is all well out of their hands, right? But if they have the option to have one and then choose not to, yes, I want my money back. Right. If it's totally out of their hands, no, of course not. It's fine. Like, you have to keep your league running. I want my kid to play it the next time it's around. Of course you can keep the money. Right? But if you give me the option, but then you choose not to, give me my money back. Because you chose it.
Right.
You know?
Give me my money back.
Like the survey did not make a lot of sense to me when it came to that. And I sat there and I reread it a couple of times to make sure I wasn't being a dipshit.
Dude, badly designed surveys are such a good way to get numbers that you want.
Well, and it's a Little League. Like, I'm sure the person who made the survey is not thinking of it on that way.
This goes all the way to the top. Let me tell you.
It does not. And like,
level.
And I am certain if they end up not having a league, it's not going to be because they chose not to. It's going to be because they're told not to. Right. You know, like.
But. You mean they're following the recommended guidelines of their local public health?
Yes, they are. Yes.
Gasp it.
Like, do I wish we could have opened the school up after 3 weeks with, like, limited, like, interaction between kids and social distancing and stuff? Of course I do, yes. Do I understand why they couldn't do that? Yes, of course I do.
Will I continue to loot and burn? You're goddamn right.
I will continue to kill Mamber. For the Emperor.
For the Emperor.
For which one?
The Emperor?
I'm in danger.
The orange Cheeto one? Did I get it right?
So.
Did I get that one right, or did I get that one wrong? I don't remember.
Depends on the color palette. So.
I want somebody to do an emperor that's Cheeto Man. They need that. They need that model out. They're never going to put that model out. They're never going to put the emperor out.
Oh no. I'd be surprised. I don't know if they do it for 30K.
I would totally 3D print a Trump head and put him on it.
Doesn't the emperor have rules in 30K?
No.
There's no model for him. Why would there be rules?
Because
they have rules.
I mean, what's the rule going to be? Put the emperor on the table and win?
I mean, what was it, Eleanor? That wasn't necessarily the case. I mean,
oh yeah.
Oh, I don't know about that. I have my suspicions that the emperor allowed himself to be saved in that situation in order to give his son the boost he needed to be named War Master instead.
Yeah, and look at how that turned out. As much as I like the War Master.
Yeah. I'm saying, I don't believe words were too far. I don't believe the emperor was ever in danger of death
from any orc. Orc Prime, buddy.
You're talking about a dude who sits on a golden throne and keeps the entire forces of chaos at bay. He's not dying to an orc.
He's
just not. He's not going to die to an orc. Come on. Maybe the Silent King, because that guy's killed gods.
Yeah, that's true.
There's
That guy was probably like, oh, what's this emperor dude? Oh, he's fine, I guess.
In the lore, has there ever been a non-Necron that's killed a god?
The Slan, maybe?
The Eldar, I think.
But it was the Eldar gods that killed gods.
The Eldar gods that killed them.
Right.
I want to say the Slan or the Old Ones.
But the Old Ones were gods.
The Old Ones were... I think they were. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, the Old Ones were gods.
I don't know.
Yeah. I think the only thing I can think of, and I'm probably wrong, is I think Belakor killed something like a Chaos Demigod, I think. And there's like, that's like why he's like supposedly the most powerful, like demon, like part of the reason why he's.
Okay, but like really, if you're a chaos god killing another chaos god?
Yeah, well, there's lots of chaos gods in chaos.
That's true. I mean, there's always that.
I mean, for real, that storyline about Eleanor always bothered me. Because it's not going to happen. And it is so obvious that he would allow Horus to save him in order to give Horus the boost. I've read it.
Yeah, it's a prologue, I think, actually.
Yes, I've read it.
It's also from Abaddon's perspective, which is interesting if you remember anything about literature, perspective forcing a narrative.
Yes.
Right? That's why one of my favorite theories of literature of all time, too bad Danny's not here to talk about this, is how the narrator for Don Quixote is actually rooting against him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh yeah,
and
the idea that in Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, the doctor's actually the monster, and it's like a psychological episode.
Ooh, nice.
You've heard that theory? No,
I have not actually.
Yeah, the idea is that like the monster is actually the doctor having.
I've heard the theory
committing that the problems.
That makes.
I've heard the theory of the monster being the author.
Yes, there's that one too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Damn, now I just want to go read classic literature and be cultured as fuck.
I'm almost done with Cannery Row.
Oh yeah, how's that?
It's pretty good. I've never read it before. Like the only Steinbeck I've read are the quintessential Steinbecks, Grapes of Wrath and Of Mice and Men. And Cannery Row, like I love Monterey, and I had no idea it was about Monterey. And I read the back of it when I found it on my shelf, and I was like, oh, this is short and about a city that I love. I'm gonna read this.
Oh nice.
It's pretty good. it's very much Of Mice and Men type Steinbeck, not Grapes of Wrath style Steinbeck.
I recently finished Sons of the Salinar for 30K, basically Horus Heresy. It, for those who are curious, it wraps up the storyline of the Sisyphean and the Shattered Legions, and Savik Wayland and Sherokin, and Captain Brandon. It's a fitting end. It felt a little short, but I think it's because it's one of the Siege of Terra filler stories. So, like, I get it. I don't know. It makes me sad just because I felt like there wasn't, like, a whole lot of oomph and action to it. They all had fitting... I think they wrapped up the story nicely without giving away too much, but... And they have one big, like, oh, this is 30K and it still connects to 40K somehow. Oh my God, you guys. Like, they have that moment in there.
Is it the foundation of the Forge Fathers, the Vulcan Hasdan Forge Fathers?
No, it has to do with the Selenar. So, like, the cloning. Oh. And so it's related to, like, the origin of the Space Marines and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. Cause they did that. They talked about the Forge Father in the one where Vulcan tells the guy, to pick 13 things from his vault of, like, thousands of things he's made that are, like, you know,
yeah,
universe-destroying weapons, basically, that he's created. And he's supposed to pick...
Because he was bored.
Yeah. And so he's supposed to pick the ones that he wants to keep, because Vulcan's afraid of them falling into the wrong hands. And they create that as, like, the beginning of the Forge Fathers, right? Like, yeah, the Vulcan Stone Forge Father. And I was wondering if they were going to tie that in, because the Broken Legions tie into that storyline, I think, somehow.
They do, but that's because there's a period of books, I think, where the Vulcan storyline co-mingles with the Shattered Legion storyline, so, like, they're all buddies for a bit, and only one of the Salamanders stays behind.
Right, yeah.
Atesh Tarsa.
Right.
But, so, yeah, it was pretty good. It's worth reading. Cool. I'm just waiting for Saturnine, because I'm unfortunately a plebeian, and not like Adam in his regality, where I can afford to be lavish with my book purchases.
I don't speak plebs when it comes to those books.
Basically, and the thing is, like, I found a bootleg PDF copy of someone's scanned, someone straight up scanned a freaking book.
No, they didn't. I don't know what you're talking about. Games Workshop, we're not supporting this.
Well, here's the thing.
Please don't send us a cease and desist.
I am not supporting it because I took one look at it and I said, I cannot. I am waiting to buy the real thing.
We're now demonetized. Oh, wait, we're monetized in the first place.
Does that mean we're now monetized? Does it work the opposite way? Absolutely.
I still have to finish the first wall.
Oh, my God, wow. Dude.
Well, you know what? The problem is I listen to the books when I'm painting.
Oh.
And I'm not painting. Or I listen to them when I'm in the – no, I don't. Well, I run the treadmill, but the treadmill's in the bedroom. The bedroom has the TV, so I watch Twitch.
Yeah.
So – yeah, like, I would listen to books when I would go to the gym, but I can't go to the gym.
Yeah, you know, it's
just, and I would also listen to them in the car, but not driving anywhere. So I think what I got to do is I really do have to sit down and be like, okay, I'm going to hobby one night a week, so I can I can finish the first wall. Because I listen to it in snippets as I drive, the couple places I do drive. It is really good.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm finished.
See, for me, I guess I haven't had that issue with books just because I have insofar as I normally read on my train to work, but I have not been on a train to work. So.
Well, and if I had the actual copy of it, I would have finished it.
Yeah.
Because I'm reading actual books. I've read five books now. No, four books on quarantine. I'm on my fifth.
You've actually been doing a pretty good pace.
I'm reading actual books, but I'm not doing the audiobooks, whereas normally I do audiobooks and I don't read any paper books.
Mm-hmm. I normally – see, that's the thing. I audiobooks are – I occasionally can listen to them, but I prefer having the vision, like the reading element.
Yeah.
Mostly just because I don't know. I'm very auditory, so it's like I have the idea of the characters to sound like.
Yeah, if I'm going to read a book, I can't do the pad. I have to do the actual book.
However, I will say that because of the audiobooks and audio drama, I will forever think of Karn as a piss-off Russian.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I do like the guy who does the voice acting.
Yeah,
he's pretty
Karn
good.
Guy's good.
Yeah. Karn guy's he does well. The demons well, too. He does, like, the Nurgle demons with all, like, the guttural, like, gross, phlegmy stuff. He does a really good job with it.
I actually heard an interpretation of Chthonian that actually made it sound like Scottish. And I was actually really – it was actually kind of an intriguing twist. I was like, oh, huh. Like, I don't know. It was interesting.
How the hell did we get on this topic?
Because we're talking about books.
Why are we talking about books?
I don't know how. Why were we talking about books?
books.
I don't know. It's probably because there's nothing else to talk about right now because of the fucking quarantine.
We should we're probably do the contest winners because the chat's getting antsy.
They're getting antsy?
Ooh. Oh, so that's the only reason they're here? Oh, yeah. Wow.
Well, I mean, I would assume so.
That's why it's not to the end.
It's almost like
there's reward involved. There are tens of dollars on the line.
Tens of dollars.
So
it will pay for none of your hobbying this year.
So we had actually had.
But we asked for your dollars in return.
We actually had a number of entries.
Shockingly.
It was pretty good amount.
Stupidest fucking competition you've ever done.
The best. Entries was like vote for me as I am internet famous to upwards of seven people.
I like that one. I actually refused to look when you sent the entries.
I know. Yeah. That's why we did the voting.
Yep. Right.
And that's why I sent the entries to individuals instead of like group chat.
Right. Because I wasn't going to look at it. Ever.
Did you have ones you liked?
You didn't let Alan vote, did you?
No.
Oh God, no.
Okay.
Actually,
we did.
Rounds.
We did, but we told Alan it was a mail-in ballot.
So then he refused to fill it out because he doesn't believe in mail-in voting?
Yeah.
One was Salty John puts the act in reenactment.
That's not very
that was
good.
One of my favorites.
That's not very good at all. How did that even work?
I didn't vote for it.
There's
but
no act in Salty John?
No. No, one of my.
John.
I almost had him. I almost had him, Adam.
I know.
You
I
almost did.
Quit. Quit it. I'm done. I'm gonna go download Minecraft and be a simple man.
Another one was Salty John 2020. I've been reenacting my victory for years. I'll win even if I lose.
That's one of my favorites.
But they said loose, not lose.
Yeah, that's why I didn't vote for Tom because spelling's important.
No, no. Grammar mistakes not allowed to win.
That's why I didn't.
No, that's not the winner. That's just one of the highlights.
Okay.
One of my highlights was, y'all bitches better vote for me. I'll go marry Antoinette on your ass.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I like it. That's a good one, too.
I like the one that said, this is not a purse. It's my sweet bag or baguette. I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's a sweet bag. You know what that is.
I got it. Baguette.
No, not baguette. It was B-A-G-G-E-S.
Baggies?
And sweet was spelled S-U, I think it was E-T-E. But it was basically sweet. It's sweet bag in English.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, okay.
You know what it is, right?
Yeah.
Tom, you know what it is?
Doesn't mean I know how to pronounce it.
I mean, I'm guessing balsa? Or?
No, what it is it's something from the Middle Ages that had a nice smell to it. It's basically like cologne to cover up that you didn't bathe.
Right.
Oh, interesting.
And guys carried it around with them.
Yeah, because people in the 17th and 18th century never bathed.
Not once.
Filthy bastards.
Maybe once a month?
No.
Getting hit in the face with a foam sword is only half as gratifying as being able to wear a powdered wig and petticoats.
I like that one a lot, too.
There's more to it, but I'm not going to read the rest of it.
This is the worst contest of all time.
But those weren't the winners.
Yeah, this scares me.
So, third place is going to be – was actually the one Tom already mentioned because Tom likes to ruin things.
Yeah.
Elect me or I go Marie Antoinette on your ass. On your ass.
Nice. Okay. I'm okay with that one. That's a good one. I'll always like a French Revolution reference, always.
Second place was elect Salty John, and he promises to reenact a Civil War field amputation on Adam live on Twitch.
That was one of my favorites, yeah.
Yes. If we can promise him won't be prosecuted, absolutely.
As long as it's my left arm, since I'm right-handed.
No, I'm going to take your only good eye.
It's amputation.
Whatever, I'm going to take liberties.
And then, so that was second place.
Okay.
First place. And the winter.
The winter of my discontent is?
Right now. Nice. Hold on, let me grab the bag so I can read it correctly.
Yeah, I was pretty quick on the uptake on that one, huh, Tom?
Battle for Space Wolves, Talons of Morkai.
Which, if I knew you had, I would have taken off your hands. I don't know why we're auctioning it off.
Not. Where is it at? There it is. Being hit in the face with an 8-foot poleaxe is still social distancing. That was a number one winner.
That's great. I love that one.
And that was...
That was good. Damn, you were the worst. Like, how do you have this much gas? Like, just to have the name of the person next to it so you know what is wrong with you.
I take the name off so that...
This is as good as your joke delivery at the beginning of some of these shows.
Hey-o. Okay, well, you are biased, so your opinion doesn't matter in those cases.
The viewers agree with me.
Not if they want to win a prize.
The listeners, hey-o. The listeners might not, but the viewers, they agree.
Our 5 viewers, 6 viewers...
They're the ones that matter to me.
Not even your fellow casters.
That's correct. Did you find the fucking name or what?
Yeah.
Oh my god. I got some Apex Legends to play over here. What are you doing?
I know. I keep thinking that I miss it because I'm in a tournament right now, but like.
And by the way, Bannerlords over there.
Oh yeah.
I should have played Bannerlords this whole time.
I beefed up Gilliman.
Should. That is, oh my god. That is Adam Napier.
Who?
Congratulations. Adam
Napier. I know that name. I know that name from,
Yeah, it's the same as my first.
That's, no. No, he.
It's rigged.
No, he, did he win another contest? Before?
All I know is that shipping's gonna cost me because he's in South Australia.
Okay, maybe that's why I know him, because he's one of the Aussies.
Aussie.
Congratulations, Adam.
Yeah, congratulations, man. That was a good one. I loved that one. That was great.
Yeah, John likes to get a poleaxe to the face.
No, I just like the social distancing joke. It's funny.
That's the poleaxe. So that's the contest. Congratulations again to Adam.
Yeah.
I'll message you for your information, and we'll get that out right away.
Mm-hmm.
There was much rejoicing.
Yeah, sure, John was very happy.
Mm-hmm.
I'll also send something to the second and third place. I don't know what yet. Probably some tokens or something, some dice.
That'd be cool.
I'll get in contact with you guys.
Or a bag of tears of Adam's joy of your loss.
My joy is John's loss.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, actually, yeah. That could be that.
So
that's a good one.
That's a good one. So a couple questions before we leave from our Patreons. Which I think John already answered one of them, but we're going to ask
him. I did.
Jeff from Burbank asks,
Jeff from Burbank.
Will we ever play 40K again?
Nope. Gave the same answer I gave online. Nope.
Not the 40K we know.
Not the 40K we know. Eventually.
So I'm still going with nope.
Jeff Burbank also asks, what's better, conscripts or Necron warriors? Probably conscripts, they're cheaper.
Anything Necron is automatically wrong.
I mean,
we covered that at the beginning of the show.
Are we talking old are we talking old commissar or new commissar?
It doesn't matter. They're like a third of the price.
No, it just depends on how hard I say conscripts.
Jesus.
Depends on how hard I smash the conscript button.
All right, I'll move it up. So another question from Michael is asking, if we feel that coming back from this pandemic, do you think it's a perfect time to release 9th edition? Or whatever the next iteration of the rule set is. Or do you think they'll have to – I think they'll have to finish with Psychic Awakening first.
I don't think there's any way to predict what they're going to do.
Well, not even they know.
I get the feeling that they don't even know what the hell they're doing, so.
Yeah.
Literally what I just said.
I know, but I said it better and louder.
Sheesh.
This is the internet. Louder wins.
That's true.
And gets the credit.
Yeah, I heard it from John.
I heard it here first.
So, I think it depends on how quickly they put out the Psychic Awakening stuff, because they're behind on that. So if they do a rapid succession like they used to do, or if they space it out like they normally would, we may not see it for a while if it comes out this year at all. Probably gets pushed back till next year.
If it exists.
If it exists. But either way, I wouldn't be surprised if we get a Psychic Awakening book every week until they put them all out.
And then ninth edition right at the end of it?
Yeah. Boom. Done.
Throwing out all the Psychic Awakening book rules at the same time?
Yes.
As long as I can keep making it so my Psychic Awakening books cannot be bought. Because they can't technically release it yet because they haven't opened it yet. As long as that happens. That's all I want.
Sure.
Yep. I'm a glutton for punishment.
A glutton.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's it. Just one quick reminder for those that haven't heard. There's a big contest going on right now. Go to 40kraffle.com. It's free to sign up. $5,000 worth of different prizes from different stores, manufacturers, different companies that put in, including Frontline Gaming, who have put in for the prize pool. So 40kraffle.com. Check it out. And just enter your email. That's it. The only thing you lose is your privacy because they give that name, your email, to the companies that put in the prizes.
Yeah, NigerianScammers.net.
Yes.
Is it confirmed how much of that $5,000 price pool is actual product?
No. Yes. Oops. Not the right website. Sorry. I don't know what.
That's a special website.
How much of it is actual product, and how much of it is coaching services?
I think you know what. I don't know. I know. Wait. What I know of, like, two or three people and companies that have.
Yes, Tom. Go ahead.
Is it coaching services or is it coupons for coaching services? There's a big difference.
I know some. I know some of it is for coaching services. It's not $5,000 in, like, actual products that you can, like, turn around and get $5,000 for. There's like intangibles involved.
But capitalism.
I'm just making sure everybody knows before they go and enter for $5,000.
I'm just asking questions.
I'm not asking questions. I'm making statements.
I'm making statements. So there was an episode of 40K Today out. I think it was on Friday, but 40K
Today?
They have more details about it. Yeah, you don't know what that is? It's a daily 40K news podcast. It's like 15 minutes long.
It's actually pretty good. You know why it's pretty good? Because it's only 15 minutes long.
Yeah, I know, right?
That one I'll listen to.
If you want for more information on that, just go to 40ktoday.com. That's their website.
I bet you that's thrown off many a wannabe investor.
What do you mean?
Like, God damn it, screw you.
I would like you to explain this, I don't understand.
Nope.
So their May 14th episode.
SeaWorld called, they want their sea lions back.
Their biggest sea lion sitting right here in this chair.
So, check out their podcast, 40K Today. The more info about their giveaway is on their latest episode, which is dated May 14th. So
that's why John went quiet. Oh, okay.
What? What are you talking about?
No.
It's not shade, Fusehead. I'm just making sure everybody knows that the $5,000 prize is not all tangible product. When I hear $5,000 prize, I think, oh, cool, I'm going to get an army worth $5,000. I'm going to get $5,000 worth of product, right? Like physical, tangible product. I don't have a problem with part of the $5,000 being coaching services.
You just want it out there that it's a coaching service and not actual product. Like,
correct.
Like a mat,
right.
Or models or paint. Or,
yes. Because if I was to win... Right, and all they did was advertise $5,000 prize, 40K prize or whatever, right? And they're like, yeah, so like 15, I don't know if this is the amount. $1,500 worth of it is coaching services. I'd be like, what the fuck? Like, I would never utilize coaching services.
So that's like what, 30 minutes with Nick Nonavati, or is it 40? I can't remember his going rate these days.
I don't know. I have no idea what the rate is. I don't care about the rate. What I'm saying is I would not purchase coaching services. So if that were part of the prize, and like the way I've seen it advertised does not make that clear unless you click and read, right? Which if you're going to enter a contest, I guess you probably should do anyways. But like, you know, it needs to be clear that like, it's not just product you're getting. Even if it weren't coaching services, even if it was like, hey, $1,000 of this prize is $1,000 coupon to a painting service, right? I'd still be like, I'd rather not have that.
Well, so that, to me, that's actually more useful than a coaching service.
No, because the coaching service because the coaching service might not be useful to you, me, and Tom. It might be useful to Tom. It might not be useful to the three of us. But
it's not coming funny anyway.
Yes. Thank you. But a painting service might be useful to a lot of people. A painting service might not be useful to the three of us.
Right.
Well, it, but, you know,
wait
but,
for
but
it
could be useful to some people. Like, it could be really useful to Danny. Who's not here to defend himself, and he'll beat me up the next time I see him, and it's fine.
Totally worth it.
So, as we're now announcing, this is Jean's Bon Voyage episode.
You know what? I wouldn't mind the painting coupon, actually, if, like, what I was getting with the other $5,000 worth was, like, a completed army that I could just ship off and have painted, you know? I've utilized painting services before. I can paint, but I utilize painting services. Yeah, I'm just saying, like, people should be aware that it's not, like, literally just $5,000 worth of 40K stuff. It might be coupons for painting services and coupons for coaching and, like, other stuff. So just read what it is you're entering for.
Yeah, and it's 40kprizes.com.
Right. Totally cool idea, totally fine. Just make sure you know what you're doing.
Right.
Cuckoo.
So I have a link in the show notes and a link so we can, if for those that want to go there and try it. And you get different entries doing different things in social media, things like that. So, and there's a whole list of what you can do. There's only 10 days left as of today. By the time you hear this, there'll probably be like a week left. So basically till next week.
So it's going to take you 3 days to put this thing up? Fuck, man.
Savage.
So
your job is literally to sit around and play video games.
Check that out. I wish that was my job. But I'm not good enough anymore. Those days are well behind me. As if our recent Apex adventures have shown.
It's okay. We still love you.
Well, thanks.
You're welcome.
I mean, love's a strong word.
Have I ever used that word on this show before?
Yes, but not towards a person.
Yeah, not towards a person. Towards Shalmers. I love Shalmers Space Marines. I love Lehman Rush Space Marines.
So I think we'll end it there.
Yeah, that's a good place to end it because this is going off the rails fast.
Yes. Now?
The whole show's been going off the rails the whole time. But, you know.
Tom, any final thoughts where we call it?
Be excellent to each other.
So no thoughts.
No.
John.
My final thought is stay tuned after the show because I'm going to stop the stream and start it up again because we're going to play some Apex Legends live.
For myself, thanks everybody for listening, both on the Twitch stream. Thank you for everybody being here. Thanks everybody doing the content.
Not as good as mine.
I really enjoy it. And thanks everybody for watching the show and following us and all that other good stuff. I hope everyone's taking care of each other, and good night, and have a pleasant tomorrow.
That's literally what I said.
See ya.